All right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, we got a weird one for you. We're looking at Ben Wheatley's In the Earth, which comes out today. And I was lucky enough to get to see it a little while back. And joining me to talk about it is Amy Smith from the Film for Thought podcast. I've been wanting to have her on the show for a while now, and I'm happy to finally get her here on Piecing It Together. We had a great conversation about In the Earth and some of the weird movies that this crazy movie was possibly inspired by. But before we get into that conversation, I do want to remind you to make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever it is you listen to podcasts. We're, of course, on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on Pocket Casts, on TuneIn. I could just sit here and name like 20 different apps. We're on all of them, I think. If we're not on something that you like to use to listen to podcasts, let me know, and I'll make sure to get on that app. You could also follow us on social media at PiecingPod. You could join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. And don't forget to check out our Patreon, the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, where you might be hearing this episode right now ahead of its actual planned release on the main feed. I'm not sure. It's hard for me to tell. But check out the Produced by David Rosen Patreon. I post advanced episodes of Piecing It Together, exclusive bonus content, also content from Awesome Movie Year and other podcasts that I'm involved with, and from my music career. I got lots of great content on there as well from my music. I'll be posting very soon the soundtrack to a feature film I just recently scored. So lots of great content coming there. So sign up if you really like what we're doing. Or you could also just, rate and review the show, share it, and keep listening. That helps too. So let's get into this conversation about In the Earth. All right, so Amy Smith from the Film for Thought podcast is here. Amy, how's it going?
It's going well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. I have been covering a lot of horror movies lately. I don't know how that worked out, but it sure seems to be the case. But looking forward to talking about this one. It's a weird one. But before we get into it, though, it's your first time on the show. Why don't you tell people a little about you and your podcast?
Yeah, so I have a podcast, Film for Thought. It's basically based on the blog that I also have. And the idea of it is just letting people come on and get to talk about a film of their choice, because I know some people don't have the space to do that or don't have an excuse to kind of talk about a favorite film of theirs from maybe 60s, 70s or whenever. So it's just a chance to give people a space to talk about films.
Awesome. Yeah, no, that's a great way to, open the floor to people who, like you said, don't maybe have an outlet for talking about some particular movie that's like very meaningful for them. So yeah, no, that's awesome. This movie we're going to talk about is an interesting one, In the Earth from Ben Wheatley. Are you a big Ben Wheatley fan?
I was one of the people that defended Rebecca, I will say that.
Okay.
I did actually really enjoy Rebecca, but I haven't actually checked out a lot of his other stuff. I need to go back and look after it, but so far, it's 2 for 2 for me.
Okay. Yeah, that's going to be interesting then, because I'm sure that I know Ben Wheatley's one of these filmmakers who has a kind of rabid fan base that just really either loves his stuff or people who just seem to hate him. So far, the things that I've seen from him, I don't really like that much, but this is my favorite thing I've seen from him. That's good. At least I'm kind of on that kind of trajectory with his filmmaking. Of course, the big story of this movie is that it's a post-pandemic film and made after everything we've been through over this year. And so that is definitely going to be an interesting thing as we get into some of these puzzle pieces, see how that kind of like lines up with things. But I'd say let's just start jumping right in. What do you got for your first puzzle piece for this?
So my first puzzle piece is Darren Aronofsky's Mother.
Nice.
And I've got this because they're both kind of horror films, but they also take a very nature aspect to the story and really focus in on the nature itself. So that was my first puzzle piece.
Awesome. Yeah, I always love bringing Mother into a conversation.
Absolutely.
On this show. I love that movie so much. And this is definitely I would say one of those movies that just gets like crazier and crazier as it goes. It's got that kind of build, just like Mother, where it just goes totally off the rails as the things go forward. And yeah, that whole, you know, nature being at the center of everything that's kind of happening within this. And I will say that's an interesting thing too. This is one of those movies where there's a lot of interpretation, I think, that you can really, like, you know, go into as far as you want to, as deeply as you want to, about what exactly is happening here. And, you know, obviously Mother has a lot of various interpretations to it. I'm not sure if there are, you know, a lot of theories out there within the Earth. I haven't, you know, I usually don't, like, dig too deep in because I don't want it to affect my opinion when making a podcast episode. But, I'm sure that there's a lot that could be gleaned from what happens on screen in this movie. So for sure, I'll go to the first one that came to my mind, also dealing with nature and all that. And that's Annihilation, a movie where a bunch of scientists have to go into this place in a forest where this unexplainable scientific event is happening. In that case, it's the Shimmer. And once they get inside, things are just getting really strange. Nature is just going wrong and going all off. And there's also a lot of creepy humanoid plant figures, which there's one of those at least in this movie.
Do you think it could also be like a Netflix formula because Ben Wheatley has worked with Netflix for Rebecca?
Yeah, that is absolutely true. Yeah, I actually, that's funny. I forgot about that. It was a Netflix film over there, wasn't it, in the UK? Because here in America, Annihilation was a like a regular theatrical release first.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, but I did hear about that. That's weird how some movies get the Netflix distribution and some don't. I don't know. Who knows? I don't think anyone in Hollywood knows exactly what they're doing at this point. So, but right on. What do you got for your next piece?
Probably the most obvious one, and I've gone with Contagion because of the whole way it handles the pandemic. And yeah, even the filming of In the Earth, which they described because it was done during COVID really tightly in the UK. So it was a way for them to kind of naturally have these 2 meters socially distance filming on screen and off screen and being able to implement it in a story, which I think they did really well. But I think the most obvious sort of correlation to that is Contagion.
Yeah, sure. I've never actually seen it. Like, I'm very aware of it. And of course, it's a movie that's come up since, you know, a pandemic and all that. And it is interesting. This is a movie that I think really naturally deals with what we've been going through. And I think that's part of what makes it so successful. It's not going to be a movie we look back at and cringe, you know, like a lot of pandemic related movies lately. It feels natural. It feels like, oh yeah, there was a pandemic and these people went through it and this is the kind of after effects of that. And yeah, I think that's a good lead in to another puzzle piece that I had here, which is It Comes at Night, which is a movie where there's recently been a kind of unexplained kind of pandemic. We're not like, you know, given all the details of it, but basically that human interaction has been really frayed because of everything that the people in the movie have gone through. And that reminds me so much of this movie, In the Earth, but also kind of in a lot of ways of what we've gone through over this past year since COVID-19, and just how weird the idea of like getting, you know, back out there and interacting with our fellow human beings is right now. I mean, tomorrow morning I get my second vaccine, and then 2 weeks later I'm going to the theater to see Godzilla versus Kong, and I can't wait. But at the same time, being around people in a closed room, that's going to be kind of creepy, you know? And this movie, I think, kind of taps into that, just like It Comes at Night definitely was tapping into that ahead of time.
Absolutely. And yeah, we're not getting back to the cinema until May in the UK, but even just watching shows right now where they're pre-recorded and you see them close, I'm like, that looks so weird. Yeah. That's not normal.
Yeah, it's like, how are they right on top of each other? It's crazy.
Yep.
Oh, the world's so strange now. What are we going to do? Well, what do you got for your next piece?
Yeah, so obviously, like, the film isn't out yet. We both got to see it at Sundance. So I kind of watched a couple of trailers to kind of refresh my mind and see what I could remember of it. And mm-hmm. the trailers featured like these tapestries and these references to folk tales, and that kind of reminded me of Midsommar.
Sure.
Especially like the big tapestry that's like pans across telling a kind of story and also foreshadowing what is potentially going to happen later on in the film.
Absolutely. Yeah. Midsommar was something that definitely came to mind for me too. Like you said, those tapestries, those weird, creepy art pieces that are kind of foretelling things that are going to come later, or maybe they're not, or it's just like kind of hard to tell exactly what they're supposed to be, but there's lots of clues along the way. It's also one of those movies that this is one of those movies. The thing that I like about it the most, I kind of joked about this on my Letterboxd review. It's one of those movies where you're just like, this poor fucking guy, like the stuff that they're putting him through. And that's kind of how I feel about everybody in Midsommar. I mean, that they're all just going through just all this awfulness. And it's like, there's no getting out of it. It's just, it keeps getting worse and worse for them, no matter what they try to do. So yeah, that's definitely one of those kind of movies. Also Midsommar, you know, kind of just tripping balls in the forest, you know, that definitely is a connection there as well, because this movie gets very, very trippy as it goes on. So definitely great piece. I'm gonna go with a piece that really mainly connects to the third act of In the Earth, and once they connect with the other scientist, I believe Olivia, I think the name was, and she is communicating with these, I mean, spoiler alerts all around when it comes to piecing it together, but especially this movie, it's very hard to talk about without like kind of getting into some of what happens here. But there's this like forest spirit kind of thing going on, and they're communicating via flashing lights and musical keyboards and things like that. And so I thought of Steven Spielberg's Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where they communicate with the aliens through a whole series of lights and musical keys. And so this is, of course, in this case, some kind of weird forest spirit that we're never really fully explained exactly how that works or what exactly it is that is happening with it. But somehow or another, the scientists are communicating with it through musical keys and big flashing lights that make for some really trippy, cool visuals.
Absolutely, yeah. I haven't actually, that's one film I do actually need to catch up on. That's like a blind spot of mine.
Oh, right on. Yeah, I saw it at a anniversary type screening a couple years ago. I think it was the 40th anniversary. So I got to see it in a theater, and very weird movie for being such a, you know, beloved classic, but very cool.
It's one I definitely have to check out.
So what do you have next?
So any chance to talk about Psycho, I'm going to take. So anytime I see like a slasher slash horror, I'm like, well, that's kind of influenced by Psycho. You don't get horrors and you can't really talk about Psycho otherwise.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah, I mean, we should talk about this. So, I mean, basically the main plot here, we've got these two scientists going into the woods to meet up with this other scientist who they haven't heard from, and to gather supplies. This is all after, of course, a pandemic has just happened, and they basically get drugged and kidnapped by this crazy person. we don't really know exactly who he is. We just kind of think he's just someone living in the woods, but you know, more things get revealed as it goes on. But this crazy person, Zach, played by Reese Shearsmith, he is pretty freaking terrifying.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, like, it's so creepy, especially with how, like, the close-up shots of, like, the body mutilation and how well they are done.
Oh, yeah. And that all kind of leads to what I was saying earlier about, like, this is one of those movies that this poor guy, like, it's just horrifying what they put him through. And it's so funny, like, this is a kind of a darkly comic film, I thought. Like, it definitely made me laugh a lot. Like, he just takes it all in stride. Like he just, like, kind of goes, and then takes it and just keeps moving forward. He's like, I'd be dead like minutes into this movie, basically.
Oh yeah, same. Absolutely. Yeah. I would not want to live if I went through that for an entire night.
Oh yeah, I have no idea how this poor guy makes it, but yeah, that Zach character, very, very crazy. I'll go on to another piece here. I'm gonna go with combination puzzle piece here, two movies, The Fog and The Mist. You get a lot of really cool, trippy imagery of fogs kind of rolling in, and then we, like I already kind of mentioned about the lights and everything, that there's a lot of flashing lights and a lot of strobe effects going on, but mixed with the fog and the knowledge that something evil and dark and creepy is in that fog makes for some really cool, unsettling imagery.
It seems like the whole fog and mist thing used to really be popular in horror, but it seems to have gone away recently. So it's nice, right, to see it kind of brought back.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, it's something that, it's almost like a shorthand. Like, you just know that's bad. You know that something really bad is in there, but, you know, you don't know until you get into it what exactly that bad stuff is.
Absolutely.
All right, what do you got for your next piece?
Yeah, so I'm usually not too squeamish when it comes to seeing like body mutilation and horror. Some of the stuff here was really squeamish to me, but it just reminds me the worst one for me is A Quiet Place and The Nail in the Foot. That to me is the most squeamish I am with like body mutilation. So a lot of the sort of cutting up and blood just reminded me of that moment where it's the one scene I can't watch it. I actually cannot watch it.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say 127 hours.
I haven't seen that in all fairness.
Okay. Because, yeah, when it comes to body mutilation, that is a tough one to sit through. But, yeah, Quiet Place also. I actually, to be honest, I kind of forgot about the that scene, but that is pretty awful. The stuff that happens to poor Martin in this movie, it is just... I was definitely kind of like squealing while watching it. I was like, oh God, you know, it's terrible. So I'll go with another piece here, and that is Color Out of Space, a movie with Nicolas Cage from last year that came out, that kind of, you know, the whole cosmic horror thing. I feel like the build of this, we talked earlier about Mother and like getting crazier kind of build to the movie. But it's also like the kind of crazy, the kind of horror that's going on. We start out with like just creepiness in horror and then move to strange in horror and then to just all out nuts horror by the end of the movie. And I thought that kind of strange build to it, the way that Color Out of Space was, where things started out creepy, got stranger, and then went just total balls to the wall nuts by the end. And I feel like In the Earth has that similar kind of build to it.
I will say, I know what Nicolas Cage star in a Ben Wheatley film.
Ooh, I think we all want Nicolas Cage to start a Ben Wheatley film. Give us that, yes. Well, what do you got for your next piece?
Yes, so this is a final piece I have, but it's also a TV series, and it's Supernatural. It's a show I've loved for so many years, but the hint of a Supernatural, but a lot of the episodes actually involve being in the woods or being in the dark or trying to hunt something, not sure what's really there, survival. It's got all the different elements that I could really see influences of in the Earth.
Right on. What's the title of it?
Supernatural.
Oh, it is just called Supernatural. Okay.
It's just called Supernatural.
I've never seen it. Yeah, I've never seen that show. I believe I've heard of it, but yeah, it's. I assume that people are lost in the woods and totally... shit out of luck, basically.
It's basically two hunters who go out and hunt all these supernatural beings. And like the first season was very much going out into the woods, finding this poor person who felt like they were lost, or they saw a werewolf, or they saw a zombie, and that sort of progression as it goes on. So yeah, a lot of episodes like that.
Right on. Sounds fun. It actually sounds like a fun take on that kind of a thing. I'll go with my last piece here, and that is the Blair Witch Project, I just felt like once they got out into the woods, they're just stuck, and there's simply no way to get out for no particular, like no explainable reason, they're just not going to be able to get out of those woods. And that, you know, leads to that, the supernatural aspect of this movie, which again, we don't get any kind of like straight up answer to, like, how is this happening? Why is this happening? I mean, there's a spirit in the woods. So it's like, you know, how are we going to really fully explain any of that, you know, in a 90 or 100 minute runtime, however long this movie was. But yeah, these people are just so completely stuck and there's no getting out. And then, of course, you know, we also have Zach running around too. So there's that to contend with. But I mean, even if there wasn't a Zach, they're still completely stuck and there's no getting out for them.
And even though it's not found footage in the Earth, it does feel like we're still with them on the journey because we never really cut away.
Sure. No, that is true. We are through their point of view the whole time. And we never really cut back to like before or, you know, what's happening back in civilization. It's like, this is these two and we're with them no matter what they go through.
Absolutely.
All right, well, I will read down our finished puzzle here, and then we'll get into some closing thoughts on In the Earth. We talked about Mother, Annihilation, Contagion, It Comes at Night, Midsummer, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Psycho, The Fog, The Mist, A Quiet Place, Color Out of Space, Supernatural, and The Blair Witch Project. Amy, do you have any other thoughts on this movie that we kind of didn't get to that you wanted to mention?
I do think like the second half is slightly over edited. That's like my only real critique, but in terms of a screenplay, it is incredibly strong as a screenplay. Like, this is probably one of the best screenplays that was at Sundance, and I'm excited to see how people react to it when it releases. It's also a film I would have loved to have seen at a cinema. I feel like this real like crowd vibe that everyone would have just gone mad for.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think people would be screeching at all those body horror moments, and then once things get trippy in the end, I think that would have been awesome to see on a big screen. Also, the main thing I wanted to mention, Clint Mansell's score. Clint Mansell is one of my favorite composers, and it is a killer score. It's like very oddly soothing at points, and then just trippy and crazy at others. I love that music. And yeah, speaking to the screenplay, I mean, it does a lot with so little. And that's, you know, obviously, I'd imagine that he's working within the confines of, oh, we're going to be shooting this thing post quarantine. Let's try to do as much as we can with as few people and, you know, the whole social distancing and all that. And it does it just really well. I mean, another movie that came out post quarantine is Malcolm and Marie, another movie I think with a great screenplay that does really, really well. But then there's other ones like I'm drawing a blank on the name of it, but the one with Anne Hathaway and Chetaway Elifor. Yeah, Lockdown, which was not very good, I didn't think. Yep. But yeah, I mean, it really just goes to show you really need to deal with this kind of subject matter. You need a really strong script, something for the actors, for a small cast to like really sink their teeth into.
Absolutely. And I think both Malcolm and Marie and In the Earth both do a fantastic job of that.
Yeah. So I think that about does it. The only other thing I wanted to mention is I know Ben Wheatley's made a name for himself with these weird, you know, indie movies that, you know, kind of get this big attention. Next up, I think, is he still attached to the Meg 2?
Yes, he is.
What an interesting pivot. And at one point, I think he was attached to Tomb Raider 2 also, but I think he dropped off that. I think
that's been dropped off, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I guess he wants to take a stab at something big for his next thing. And I'm curious to see what that looks like because I've only seen a few of his other films. I haven't seen them all. But yeah, definitely not someone I pictured jumping into giant shark movies. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I guess he wanted to take something a little more fun in terms of blockbuster rather than, say, a Marvel or a DC that has a lot more commitment issues.
Yeah, that's true too. I don't think that he would get to be Ben Wheatley in a Marvel movie. But in a the Meg 2, maybe he could get to still be weird. So yeah, hopefully. I look forward to it. Didn't really like the first Meg, but I'm always down for giant sharks though.
Who isn't?
That's right. That's right. Well, yeah, I think that about does it for In the Earth. Amy, is there another movie you watched recently you'd like to recommend to our listeners?
Ooh, I'm trying to think. Because I've kind of been on a lull right now because I've been doing festival after festival. So March has kind of been a quieter month. I'll say I was pleasantly surprised at Godzilla v. Kong.
Okay. I can't wait. No spoilers.
No, I won't spoil, but pleasantly surprised is what I will say about that.
Right on. Well, that is exciting to hear. I'm so excited for it, and hopefully I like it as much as I hope I will.
I think the cinematic experience will help it a lot.
Yeah, and that's why I'm forcing myself. I know it's right there on my HBO Max on my TV in the living room, but I just can't do it. I'm waiting. I'm gonna wait it out. But Amy, thank you so much for doing this. Why don't you tell people again where they can find you and your podcast?
Yes, so you can find me on Twitter at @filmswithamy, and you can find my writing at filmforthought.co.uk, and my podcast is filmforthought.podbean.com.
Right on. Well, thank you so much. I'm glad to finally get you on. I've wanted to have you on the show for a while now, and yeah, hopefully we can get you back again one of these days.
Oh, absolutely.
Looking for a new podcast? Check out the Infectious Groove podcast. My name is Russ, and I host the show along with Michelle and Kyle. Every Monday, the three of us bring you music news and tell you our jammy jams, so you'll always have new music to check out. The Infectious Groove podcast discusses music from nearly every decade and genre while openly displaying our passion for music you need to hear. On top of that, we have a thought-provoking main topic of discussion every week to get you thinking, discussing, and sharing music. We also include interviews with the music stars of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all major podcast platforms. Subscribe and listen to the Infectious Groove podcast on your favorite podcast platform today.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation about In the Earth. Thanks to Amy Smith for joining me. Check out her podcast. And yeah, thank you all for listening. If you enjoy what we're doing here, make sure you're subscribed wherever it is you listen to podcasts. We have been recording a lot of interesting episodes lately. Like I said during the conversation, seems like we've been doing a lot of horror lately. So if you're one of those horror people, should be a lot of good episodes for you on this feed. So check it out. Make sure you're subscribed. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. Trying to get some more reviews going. You know, they say that kind of thing helps. Who knows? Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. But I appreciate it, whether it does or doesn't. Yeah. Anyway, you could also share the show with your friends. That is the best thing in the world that you could do, because once you share it, we get in front of all new people, and that's what it's all about, isn't it? You can also check out our Patreon, produced by David Rosen, which has lots of great content to check out from my music career, as well as from all the podcasts I'm involved with. You could also join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. Lots of people in there that love these weird horror movies, so you'll probably... Maybe you're already in there. If you are, hey, how's it going? Yeah, okay. I'm rambling here, but I think I should close this thing out with a piece of music. And I want to close it out with something weird. Something that fits with a movie like In the Earth. You know, I've always been really inspired by Clint Mansell and his scores. So I want to do him proud here. You know what? Actually, I'm going to go with a piece that is currently unfinished. This will be on one of my next albums. Why not give a little exclusive preview of something that I've been working on? I think this track might end up being called Swamp, but it'll definitely be on one of my upcoming albums that I've been working on. So, tentatively titled Swamp, but who knows? Hope you enjoy it. We'll be back with more Piecing It Together coming up real soon.
an All Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.